We have a word of prayer. And dear Heavenly Father, again, we are thankful for a day that you've given to us, Lord. Lord, as Sister Ann testified, and we thought about the message this morning, Lord, we're thankful for a place that you provided for us. Dear Lord, a protection, dear Heavenly Father, in the midst of the storm. Dear Lord, when things are going all around us and when chaotic things can be going on, even in the family and things, dear Lord, you give us that calm assurance, that peace, dear Lord. Lord, we also realize there's not a lot we can do about certain situations. But Lord, we can look to you and ask you for that comfort and that guide, and we're so thankful for that. Lord, we're thankful for salvation. We're thankful for the word. We're thankful for the church. We're able to come together and be with one another. We ask you to be with those that aren't here this morning and this evening because of sickness. There's a lot that are not well tonight, dear Lord, and we're thankful some are doing some better. We ask you to touch their body and heal them completely, dear Lord. Allow them to be back in the services, dear Lord, soon. And dear Lord, we ask you to be with each and every one of us and take care of us and protect us throughout these days, dear Heavenly Father. Give us a good night tonight, dear Lord. Open up the Word of God to our minds and our hearts, dear Lord, to our souls. Dear Lord, we ask you to anoint the Word. Anoint me that I bring as you'd have us to. In Jesus' name, we ask. Brother Danny mentioned this morning, too, I had gone to the doctor's Friday, I believe it was, or Friday, Thursday, I don't know, one day, it's Thursday, I think. And the nurse told me that flu season was over. I said, well, it ain't over. You know, I got a girl at work, her son has the flu, or had it last week, so it's still going on, but pray for them. Ephesians chapter 2, we're just going to read two verses of Scripture, verse 8 and verse 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I want to look at these two thoughts here this evening. And the first one is, of course, verse 9, or verse 8, and the second one is in verse 9. But in verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. As I was reading this afternoon, and it sort of jumped out at me, it went along with the message a little bit this morning, I thought how unique this verse is, and sort of a different thought from my message for this evening. But the last part of verse 8, it says, it is a gift of God. This isn't my message this evening. But as I studied that this afternoon and I thought about it, I thought about it, how it just worked right in with the message this morning. I thought, Lord, the first thing, before you can even give us a place, a Canaan land, a blessing to live in and dwell in the presence of you, you have to give us a gift first. You have to give us something, a key, so to speak, to allow us to enter into that thing. And there again, as we read this morning over in Joshua, when we talked about in Joshua, and God said, I'm going to give you a land that you didn't earn, you didn't work for, you didn't buy it, you didn't plant it, you didn't do all these things, you didn't fight for it. I gave it to you. And here this verse says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourself. It is a gift of God. You know, as I put messages together many, many times, there's so many times things just jump out and bless your soul and help you. In the message this morning, I thought about this afternoon. I said, Lord, help us from time to time. We really, truly do need to just stop sometimes and thank God for what he's done for us. Amen. Just thank him for salvation. Thank him for the Canaan, the spiritual Canaan land. Thank him for the goodness that he gives to us. And, of course, thank him for a home that we have. But the thoughts for this evening, I want to look at verse 1, or the first thought here. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And the second thought here is in verse 9 there, it says, not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And I don't know, in one sense, when we read those two verses of Scriptures and you put them together and you look at them, it doesn't get any more easier to explain salvation. For by grace are you saved, through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, so many people, they want to earn salvation. They want to get salvation by their own works, by their own credit, by who I am. Sadly, and there again, as I say this, because now the new owner of the shop, they're Jews, and my owner's not, I wouldn't say Orthodox, but he has an accountant that he comes in all the time. He is Orthodox. And my heart is saddened to them because they do a lot of works, they do a lot of preparation and go through a lot of traditions and ceremonies and things. They do all these things and a credit for themselves that they're going to make heaven their home, and they're not. They're not going to make it. If they don't accept Jesus Christ, then they cannot make heaven home. There's only one way to get into heaven, and that's through the door, and that door is Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And he says here, for by grace are you saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. I want to look at the first part for just a few moments. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is God's grace that lets you and I live today. It is the grace of God that allowed you to get out of bed this morning. And if the sun comes up tomorrow morning, it's the grace of God that allows you and I to get up. It's the grace of God that gives you and I strength. It's the grace of God that gives you and I understanding to be able to get up and fix breakfast, to be able to get up and put our clothes on, to be able to get up and get in a nice car that's not a clunker, to drive to work, to drive to the store. It's the grace, it's the blessings of God that he bestows upon us every single day. And sometimes we just don't comprehend God's goodness to us and his grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is God's grace that allows you and I to live. The word grace, of course, meaning unmerited love. Unmerited favor of God. Unmerited meaning not deserved. Sometimes that's what we need to understand about grace. There's not a person from Adam and Eve to the very last soul that will ever be born on the face of the earth. Not even Abraham, not even Moses, not even John, Peter, and James, all the disciples. There's not a person upon the face of the earth that has done anything that deserves God's grace. Not one. Not you and I, none of us. Nothing that we have done, we can't work. We'll get into verse 9 there a little bit. We can't do works and we can't have talent. You know, Linda knew a lady I believe she took lessons from her. I'm not really sure. But that lady was in a church also. And that lady let Linda know one time she would never play in a church unless they paid her. Unless you're going to pay me, I'm not going to play. I mean, she was an excellent piano player, I'm certain. But that's what people say. Look at the talent I have. Look at the ability I have. Look at what I have that God can use. God doesn't need one single soul upon the face of the earth. God doesn't need any of us. He called Moses, and Moses even said, he said, Lord, you need to call somebody else, not me. He said, Lord, I can't speak well. I can't talk well. Do something else. Call Aaron. Have him speak for us. Unmerited grace, unmerited, not deserved. We didn't deserve salvation. We didn't deserve the land that he put us into. And when we think about things, how humble can we humble ourselves? God, help me to stay humble. I don't ever want to lose the grace of God. I don't want to lose the favor of God. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion faileth not. It's God's mercies. It's of grace of God he speaks to you and I. You know, when he spoke to me that day, when he dealt with my heart, that humbled me. And if any time ever God does talk to your heart or deals with you, it will humble you. If it doesn't humble you, I don't know if it can't ever humble somebody. I really don't know if that's possible. I don't really know if that's even possible for God. I don't know if God would even deal with somebody or talk to someone that wouldn't recognize being humbled by God's very presence. But God's grace, he spake to you and I to save our soul. We talked a little bit, we're going to mention some different thoughts even from this morning here. We talked a little bit about the parable of the sower and the seed. And we talked about that some this morning. There was a parable of the sower and the seed that Jesus gave out. He goes, there's four grounds there. And all four grounds accepted the word of God. As the seed was sown, they accepted it, but it's what they did with it is where they'll be accounted for. And we see all three grounds, there was three of the four grounds, they rejected God's grace. The Bible lets us know that at that day of the last day of the judgment, there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. because of recognizing, I believe that every soul will recognize and remember that day that God extended his grace to every single soul. I remember that back there in 19. Actually, I can remember it even going back further than that. I can remember as a young boy, I've told you about the dog, the incident and thing, and God helped me, and I knew it was God dealing with me. I knew it was God recognizing or introducing himself to me, even as a young boy. I knew those things, and God dealt with me a little bit here and there, just as what am I understanding. But there was a day that God came to me and talked to my heart one day, and I recognized it, and I thank God that I didn't turn it away. Amen. The grace of God that spoke to me. Three of those grounds there, they rejected God's grace. And one ground took into faith and believed in God. God's grace says he keeps, God's grace saves us and he keeps us saved. If you have faith this morning, this evening, you have, it's because of God's grace. You know, I've always heard and said, and it's very true, I've mentioned it many times, if we're saved, we have a portion of faith. Because you can't come to an altar of prayer and ask God to save you if you don't have enough faith to believe that that's why you're there. And I thank God for that. Thank God. And that's because of the grace of God. The grace of God gives you enough faith just to believe that he can save you, that you can repent from sin, that he can save your soul, write your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and add you to the Canaan land. There's enough faith there, and then thank God we grow on that faith. And it's God's grace that gives us more faith. That gives us, when we go through the battles, you know, I always use this altar thing at the time. I can remember when I first got saved and God's faith, grace was there to give me enough faith. You know, I remember just traveling down the road every day, so to speak, and I can remember some of the small battles that came up. And God applied the grace that I needed. I still had to make a choice. God didn't just pick me up and sit me on the other side of the battle. You know, we do that with our children sometimes. We try to pamper them. We try to help them through. It's tough having grandchildren because they're not like your children. You know, your children, I was telling Sister Jerry a little bit this evening, we had the boys this afternoon for a while, and they were just agitating today. I mean, they're jealous of one another. They're not wanting to share with one another. And I'm like, you know, if they were my kids, you know, I did yell at them one time and took something from them because they wouldn't share. And they went to the house, you don't touch it. And I yelled at them and all. If they're my kids, and there might have been some more correction involved in what I did. But God doesn't just allow us to, doesn't pick us up and say, well, here's the battle. God knows the battle. God allows the battle to come, and he supplies the grace that we need. That's when I'm a baby. That's when I'm just a child, spiritually, so to speak. But I'm down the road a little bit, and God still does the same thing. The battles are more different. The battles were more difficult, but the same God that supplied grace in the first couple days when I got saved, a week or however month when that first battle I went through, is the same God that gave us grace today. The same God that saved me and gave by the grace of his, is the same God that keeps me, the same grace that keeps me. It's the same grace. God saves us by grace and God keeps us by grace. I always enjoyed the thought, there's just so many verses of scriptures that just bless my heart because of not only because of this wasn't this isn't because of the saint, but because of the meaning behind it. You know the story when Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And you know, some say you're John, some say you're Elias, some say you're this or the prophet or whatever. And Jesus didn't really care about what men said, so to speak. That wasn't what his question really was. His question came about. He goes, "Well, what do you say I am?" And we can be influenced. We can be influenced by what, who do you say Christ is, or what do you say, or give some things about. And Peter was the only one there that we have record there that said, he was boldly, he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Blessed are you, Peter, because it is the grace of God that revealed this to you and not yourself. You didn't learn it. Somebody didn't teach it to you. You didn't read it out of a book. And if you understood the thought by the grace of God, you are the Son of God." There he says there, as Peter said, "Blessed be the Son of God that take away the sins of the world." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon, For flesh and blood didn't reveal this, but my Father. My Father revealed it. And that's the grace of God. Anytime God reveals something to you, it's God's grace. And the sad thing is about that, it's a blessing. And what He's revealed to me all down through the years, I thank God. But you know what? I can walk away from God's grace. And all those things, if I walked away from God's grace today, from here to the time I got saved, the Bible says He'll never more remember those things. They'll be washed away. There won't be any goodness. There won't be any blessings. Whatever I've done, whatever I've gained credit to my salvation, and He says, lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, whatever I've laid up, they'll all be washed away. God's grace. The last part of verse 8, as we already commented there, it is a gift of God. I mentioned there again this morning about an inheritance. God gave the children of Israel the Canaan land, and this says it is a gift of God. Have you ever accepted a gift? You ever given a gift? I know the answer to that is yes. I know you get to an age that it really has a meaning to you. It is better to give than receive. You can remember when you get, yeah, maybe when you're a child, I want to get something. Always, children want gifts. They want gifts. But there comes a place, maybe, I can remember in elementary school, I don't even know what grade I was in, but Christmas time come around, and the school had this big table set up. And there was gifts that you can buy your mom and dad. Very, very minor gifts. And there was one centerpiece there that was what was a real attraction to me. And I really wanted to get it. And I think I did get it. I'm pretty sure I got it. I don't remember how I got the money for it. I don't remember. Maybe they gave me money. Maybe, I don't remember. But as, I don't know how old you are in elementary school, but... probably somewhere in 10 years old or whatever. I couldn't wait to give that to mom. I almost couldn't wait to give it to her. I mean, it was more above than what I was going to get for Christmas. I couldn't wait. And when we give something to people, it's a blessing in our heart when they receive it. And they enjoy it. And we think about it. Well, God has the greatest gift that there is. Salvation. His grace. And He says, it is a gift of God. And how sad our world is that rejects it. You give someone, I'm trying to think, I don't know if I've ever done this. I don't know if I've ever done it. I know I haven't done it or experienced it, even in someone else maybe, that have you ever given a gift to someone and they rejected it? I don't want it. I don't know if I ever remember ever seeing that eventually, but it would be unusual. No matter who it is, you could be a stranger on the street. I know we talked about sometimes with homeless people. And over the years, I remember one time we were down there at Burger King when all of us used to go out afterwards. And there was a gentleman that came in there. And we knew he was homeless. We've seen him on the street. And he sat all the way in the back there. And Aunt Sissy, I believe, had they had them coupons and buy one, get one free. And somebody, you know, give that to him. And I walked back there and handed it to him and he wouldn't take it. He's, no, I don't want it. And you know, whatever reason, you know, but sometimes that can be a pride there. But when you were to give someone something and they reject it, that's unusual. That just is not normal.
Right.
But the greatest gift that there is, God is trying to give to mankind every single day, the grace of God, and they're rejecting it. They're pushing it away. I don't want anything to do with it. Help us, Lord. Not to take advantage. Help us, Lord, not to reject it and to realize the precious gift that it is, the grace of God.
Yes.
Verse 9, he says, not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. James chapter 2 talks about works and faith going together. And James goes into great detail there, and he says, you cannot have one without the other. I trust from time to time you've meditated on that sometimes. You can't have works and only works and have faith and only faith. You know, sometimes, and people, and there again is as seem to be so easy to understand, there are so many people, they want one or the other. They will only emphasize one in their lives or the other. They won't work with both. There are people out there, my faith has saved me. I'm saved by faith. I don't have to do works. I don't have to be a part of a congregation. I don't have to be involved in things like that. My faith has saved me. Other people are just the opposite. There are people out there in the world that will work everybody in this room under the table, so to speak. They work. I mean, they work. And they trust in that work. I'm saved by my works. I'm given credit, my merit, by my works. I'm gaining heaven by my works. Now, there can be some credit there. God accepts us to work, but you have to have faith along with that. And James goes on to say those things. You can't have one with the other. God saved you, and he desires for you to be a worker in the kingdom. Let's go to James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, verse 21, it says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works?" See, I think that's where my boss gets it. You know, some of the Old Testament, they don't accept the New Testament at all. Abraham was justified by work. He was justified by the particular work that he did. But he had faith. He says, "Well, not Abraham justified by works when he had offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seeing thou how faith wrought with works, and by works was faith made perfect." As we know the story of Abraham and when he offered up Lot, and we know the story there, we don't have any much details, but God comes to Abraham. And he says, "Abraham, I know that you love me, but I want to know if you love me more than you love Isaac. I want to know." And God's going to give us the grace too. But He's going to run us through some trials and some issues and some battles. I want to see how much you really do love God, how much you really appreciate this gift of grace. "Abraham, I want to know if you love me more than you love Isaac. And Abraham, I want you to take Isaac, your only son, and I want you to take him to a mountain, and I'll show you, and I want you to sacrifice him for me." There was no debate with Abraham. Next morning, they got up, got their animals together, got Isaac, got some men, and they started out. There was, Abraham didn't call him. We see later on, you know, the story with Abraham and Lot. When God told Abraham he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, we talked about some Wednesday, when God told him that, and Abraham started to plead with God. He said, "You know, if there's 50, will you spare the city? I'll spare it for 50. How about 40, 30? He went all the way down, I think, to 10. He said, will you spare the city for that?" He debated with God. But with Abraham, with Isaac, he didn't do any of that. He just got on his animals, and they started up to the mountain. He got to a place, and he told, and the greatest part of that, He told the men that were with him, "You wait here." And what did he say? "Me and the lad, we're going to go sacrifice, we're going to go worship, and we shall return." I've heard ministers preach and say that, you know, because God showed Abraham that Isaac was the promise, Isaac was where the promise was going to come through, that he would not allow Isaac to die because he already showed him that. Some also showed, I've heard other ministers say that he believed that God would have allowed him to kill Isaac and then raise him back to life again because he already gave Isaac once from a dead womb. We don't know all the thoughts of Abraham. But he went there and then even further on, his son said, he says, "Father, I see the wood, I see the fire, where's the sacrifice?" And what did he say? "God will provide. Now, we don't know what all happened up there, but Abraham gathered up Isaac and put him on an altar, bound him up, tied him up, put him on an altar. And he went to kill him. And God stopped him. Lord, help our faith. Yeah. I hope we never have to face anything that severe. Some of the things that God says, I want to see if you really do love me. Nothing compared to what Abraham had to go through. Nothing what Moses had to go through, rejecting Pharaoh and the army there, rejecting that being king, choosing to be children of God. But he says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered up Isaac his son upon the altar, seeing thou how faith wrought this with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. God lets us know that we're a light that is set upon a hill. We're going to shine. We got to show people God's grace in our lives. We got to show people God's working in our lives. To take a stand sometimes. Faith, you know, to take a stand. I don't partake in those things. I don't do those things. I don't, whatever. It can be many, a whole list of things that God, and you know what God does? God has done this to me, and I'm certain God's done it. You could just be going down the road, and all of a sudden, it happened. God will put you in a circumstance, in a predicament, to see how you're going to stand. And sometimes we're not ready for it. Sometimes we're just not ready to, and kind of shaking a little bit about it. And sometimes we have to gather ourselves together and realize what it is and say, you know, and even be pressured sometimes in certain scenarios and whatever, and we just take a stand. No, I'm not going to do that. Because I value the gift that God has given to me, and I don't want to abuse that or overextend it. Faith and works together. You can't be saved by works. In a sense, you can't stay saved just by faith or by works. They have to be together. We're in difficult times today. You know, as I put a message together week after week, and many times when I'm thinking of thoughts, it goes to certain ones in the congregation, certain scenarios. I don't believe we can miss 90% of the services and make heaven our home. No, we just can't.
No, we need the services.
And don't allow me to offend you, but this, over the years, you hear this. People, and I realize as we get older that we have afflictions, but people use certain things thinking that God will accept that. Why I can't be in service. But through the week, they'll get in their vehicle and they'll go here, they'll go there, they'll go over there, they'll go back over there. They're all over the place. I understand sometimes and the ability of the darkness and things, not able to drive, I understand those things. I mean, Sister Hawk was one, and she testified many a time. She often testified thanking God that someone provided a way to her to come to work. And saints, we should never get into a place, I don't want to inconvenience someone. I believe that's a work on the enemy. That if we have a desire to be in the service, I believe the saints that are capable and able to, they'll do their best to help you to be here. But there's so many people, they just want to ride the faith. Oh, I'm saved by faith. But what about works? Many times they try to do other things. Let's go to Romans chapter 11. We brought this up some this morning also with Elijah. He uses the word Elisha. But in verse 3, chapter 11 of Romans, verse 3 says, Lord, You know, Elisha was dealing with a problem here. Lord, they have killed the prophets and dig down the altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Elijah, as we mentioned, we talked about the story this morning. This is Elijah. He says, you know, thinking he's the only one left. He's the only one there. In verse 4, the first part there in verse 4, it says, but what saith the answer of God unto him? He says, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed thy knee unto the image of Baal. Faith and works. God gives us grace. Those three Hebrew children stood before the furnace. I brought a message a couple weeks ago, and about, you know, my last thought there in the service, I said, one of us, who's the next one here, is going to go. And Sister Ann said, pick me. I often think about those brothers. Nobody was going to come in and rescue them. That was never an issue. They knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, one of two things are going to happen. I'm going to die, or God's going to deliver me. Right. Without a doubt. There was no doubt.
Right.
And that's where the hard part come in. God gave them the grace to stand bold and say what they said to the king. They said, king, and I said a little bit ago, sometimes we come upon a situation, boom, and it happens suddenly. And this may have been a little bit more time than boom, in a sense, but they said, king, one of the things that was a blessing to him by faith working together, we are not careful how to answer you in this response. We're not going to bow to the image that you set up. And if you throw us in the fiery furnace, then God, and God doesn't deliver us, we're going to end up in heaven in just a few moments here, or God's going to deliver us. The king got furious, heated up the furnace 7 times hotter than it was able to. I'm guessing those brothers thought, we're going to heaven here. That's what I would think. They cast them 3 men in the fire, and the men that threw them in the fire, it killed them for the heat. They applied faith and works together. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. I've meditated on it sometimes. You know, I say, Lord, help us. We don't know what God will put us into.
Right.
You know, they could have kind of talked among, but why don't we just appease him and just bow, and then that'd be it. He'll be happy with that. But see, they were still under the law. Have no other God before me.
Right.
Bow before no other God before me. Have no other God. Verse 4. But they answered to God unto him, I have reserved unto him 7,000 that have not bowed down to me. Putting faith and works together. There were people in the Old Testament, or in Hebrews, back over in Hebrews, the last part there. And as God told Elisha here, that there have been people that have not bowed their knee unto the image of Baal. That was a time back in there. And there again, this was a situation where they had killed the prophets, you know. They had killed all the prophets of God and things. And Elisha was saying, I'm the only one left. What's going to happen? And he was afraid. He was afraid and running for his life. There were people and back in Hebrews, the last part of Hebrews, they gave their life for this gospel. I often ask, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, to stand faithful. Help me to have the grace of God. To be able to stand faithful in those difficult times, and those decision times, God, I want to be faithful. I want work. Now, you say you're a Christian. What about this? Or what are we going to do about this? Or put you in situations? Verse 5. Even so, then at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace.
Thank the
Lord. Amen. Thank God. Thank God for a remnant. Thank God for a remnant.
Mm-hmm.
And why do we have a remnant? Because of God's grace.
Yeah.
We're a remnant. Yeah. I brought a message many, many years ago. Lynn and I went to some place, a store, to buy some carpet. I don't remember if we were actually buying carpet. We were looking for something, a piece of carpet or whatever. I don't remember. But I remember going in the store and the guy was helping us and whatever we were trying, maybe looking for something to put in. I don't know what we were, I forget. We weren't looking to buy carpet for the house. But I remember him saying, we have some remnants back here. And that word just struck my mind a little bit, remnant. And what is a remnant? What is a remnant? So if I were to, when we did put, Aunt Sissy built that house in 1983. 1983, yeah. So from that time to, I don't know when it was, 5 or 6 years ago maybe, I don't know if it's been that long, we replaced the carpet. And actually the carpet was good. I mean, Aunt Sissy lived by herself. She didn't have a lot of traffic in there. This was the carpet. So with us, our kids were grown. Dougie was, getting ready to get married, move on. So there really wasn't a lot of traffic, but it was time to replace the carpet. And so when we bought carpet, we pulled the old carpet up, so it was a little bit cheaper to do it for us. And we were in care, pulled up, got all the staples and all that. But I remember pulling a section, I don't even remember what it was, but if we had pulled this carpet up off this podium here, off this platform here, and I would take a knife and I would cut a hunk of it out and take that hunk. That's the remnant left of the rest of the carpet. And when we replaced the carpet in the house that Aunt Sissy had put in there, I found a piece, maybe it was under the furniture or something. It was still plush, it was nice. So I cut that section out, big section of it. Maybe that wide, 6 feet long. And the camper that I have up the farm, I said, I'll put that up there on the floor. I joked with Lynn, I said, well, at least I still got a little bit of Aunt Sissy hanging around me still. A remnant. A piece of the whole. What's left over from the whole. And thank God he says here in verse 5, even so then at this present time also there is a remnant. Thank God for the remnant. According to the election of grace. I thank God we're a part of the remnant still. We're a part of still that leftover that's there. I don't know how long we'll continue to go, but God has spared us. God has left some. And he told Elijah there, and he said, Elijah said, I'm the only one left. There's no one else. I'm all by myself. And God told Elijah, I've reserved 7,000. You're not alone, Elijah. I've taken care of some people. They've been faithful to me. They've been applied the grace of God to them. God will allow our faith to be tried by works. You're not going to be a Christian. And God's not going to allow you to see if your faith is real. Well, Lord, I love you. I care for you. I thank God for grace. Well, God's going to put you through some strongholds. Those works, they might stand against, some of those works, they might have to stand against false religion. I don't like to debate a lot of things. But, I try not to get into debate with too many people or things about religion. But every once in a while, we have to tell people this is what the Word says.
Right. Yes.
This is what the Bible says.
Yes.
It may hurt. It may not do well. It may cut them sometimes. But sometimes people just, with false religions, they get involved in things. They start just running on and running on and running on and rejecting the grace of God. And sometimes we have to say, this is what the Word of God says. I've had people I've talked to, and they lift up themselves because of the works that they do.
Right.
I mean, they are working. I mean, they're putting works in the church, or putting works in the community, they're putting works here and all. Well, that's not going to save you. The grace of God is going to save you. But you have to have faith also. You can't depend on just what I do only. So some of the things that we're going to have to stand against, false religion. We have to stand against our family sometimes. Jesus had men come to him. He says, let me follow you. Let me come be a disciple after my dad's passed away. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Pick up your cross and come follow me. Mm-hmm. Over the years, we've heard of different people, Christians, Jobs. Brother Herschel and some of the older ones that were here in different parts of the country. Thank God for this church.
Yes, amen.
They came up here working at Bethlehem Steel or GM or whatever. I'm not sure he would have came up here if there wasn't a church.
Right.
I'm almost sure he wouldn't have. Some of the other ones, they probably wouldn't have came here if there wasn't a church. There's a church. If someone were to say, hey, you have a job in Texas, whatever, I don't know. The very first number one thing we need to approach is there a true Church of God, somebody that I know there? If it isn't, that's not even a question. Well, you're going to lose your job. God's grace will supply something. When I stand firm and my salvation and my faith, when I stand firm, God will supply. I believe that. And sometimes that's some things we have to stand against. I thank God for the pearl of great price. The grace of God. I thank God for it. And by the grace of God, I don't want to sell it for anything. I don't want to sell it for anything. By the grace of God, I don't want to lose it. You know, you could lose it. You can lose it by not being careful, by being careless in things. You can lose the grace of God. You can fall out of the grace of God by just not being diligent in our salvation. We'll read it one more time before we close in Ephesians chapter 2 there. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank the Lord for that. May the Lord bless you as we have a song. You don't have a song. Okay. I need to try to remember that. So, what is Amazing Grace? Is that 180? What was the page of Amazing Grace? 180? No, that's our best. What is Amazing Grace?
270.
Page 270, if you want to stand. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Praise God, 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 praise God. Amen. His amazing grace. Thank the Lord. Appreciate each one being in service today. Pray for those, again, those that are not well. God, help them and strengthen them. And be with us in a special way. Revival closes out tonight there in Hagerstown. So remember Brother Harley as he travels back home. God will bless them and anyone that's been in there traveling. There might have been some visitors come in, so I know there's a few, so remember them. Anything we need to mention before we prepare to dismiss? Brother Ken, can you dismiss us, please?
Our Father, as we come before thee,